Amazon Web Services.
Welcome to the Cloud and Out podcast. My name is Michael.
And my name is Andreas.
We are brothers and freelancers focusing on Amazon Web Services. We do technical coaching, for example, for teams that start their journey with AWS, and infrastructure bootstrapping, typically based on our infrastructure's code templates for our clients worldwide. Every month, we discuss a topic related to AWS here in the podcast. One of us prepares the topic which is not known to the other one. So this month, I have no idea what Andreas is going to talk about. So let's ask you, Andreas, what's the topic of this month's episode?
Michael, I prepared the topic about EBS volume types because recently during reInvent and also the 2020 year, AWS announced new volume types, SSD-based volume types, and I had a closer look at what was going on there, what changed, what you need to know when making a decision which volume type fits best for your workload. So we're diving deep into the EBS volume types.
Okay, that sounds great, Andreas. Before we start, this is episode number 37, and we are recording this on January the 18th in 2021. A short announcement before we start. Staying up to date with AWS during the pandemic is not easy. There are no conferences that you can visit and talk to other people about their usage of AWS, and it's also much harder to talk to your coworkers, exchange ideas, and just chat about the latest features of AWS. That's why Andreas and I launched CloudOnAut Plus last year. This is the place where we publish exclusive videos and also run online events for our subscribers only. And today we are going to launch a yearly subscription for CloudOnAut Plus as well. And so far there was only a monthly option available. So what do you get when subscribing to CloudOnAut Plus? So first, you deepen your AWS knowledge, because we tell you about all the little secrets that are missing in the official documentation. You also stay up to date. You can benefit from the latest AWS features without burning your hands, because we review all the new features for you. And last but not least, you get independent insights. So our balanced opinion allows you to distinguish the good from the bad parts of AWS. With the new yearly subscription, you get a 20% discount compared to the monthly subscription. So go and check it out. You will find all the details in the show notes.
And now let's jump to the EBS volume types. Okay, so maybe first of all, let's start with the very basics. So EBS is the Elastic Block Storage Service provided by AWS. And this is storage that you can connect directly to your EC2 instances over network. So this is block storage, which means basically the operating system is managing a file system on top of that and then writes blocks to those block storages. And EBS comes with either solid state drives, SSDs, or hard disk drives. And today I want to cover the SSD drives, so the volume types that use SSD underneath. So this is important whenever latency and throughput is important to you. And we have now four different volume types with SSDs, and I will compare three of them. So we will talk about GP2, which is general purpose SSDs. We also talk about the latest generation of that, which is GP3. And we will compare that with the IO2 volumes, which is SSDs, but with provisioned throughput. We will talk about that in a minute. So we will compare those options. And the idea is to help you to make a decision which of those volume types fits your workload best, because there are some details and maybe also lesser known details. And we will talk about them. So I will start with the old one, so which is the GP2, so General Purpose 2 volume types. So this was the de facto standard. Whenever you launched an EC2 instance, AWS attaches an EBS volume with GP2 volume type. And so this is SSD based. And the way it works on the first side is quite simple. So you provision the size of your volume. So let's say I provision an EBS volume with a 1 terabyte. And what you get is, for every gigabyte, you get 3 IOPS. So that means I/O operations per second. And that's the baseline throughput for that volume. So that means basically by increasing the size of your volume, you also increase the maximum throughput, or to be more precise, the baseline throughput of the volume. So that's how GP2 volumes have worked. And there are a few important things to know. The maximum baseline that you can get, no matter how big your volume gets, is the maximum is 3,000 IOPS, which means basically if you have 1 terabyte, you have reached the maximum baseline performance. And as I'm talking about baseline performance, you can already guess that there is something like a burst performance as well. So for volumes that are smaller than 1 terabyte, they can burst to that maximum baseline throughput of 3,000 IOPS for a short period per day. That's also depending on the size of the volume. But you have those burstable performance, which is great if you have, I don't know, a batch job or peaky work, spiky workloads, peaks in your workload during the day, or also during booting the instance, for example. That is very interesting. One problem with those burst performances is always, so the problem is, how do you measure the performance of your system before you go live? So I've seen many infrastructures fail because the performance was fine during testing with GP2 volumes, but then about an hour after going live, the performance degraded significantly because now the volumes were falling back to their baseline throughput. This was then slowing the whole system. So this was always a little bit tricky when using GP2 volumes. And then during reInvent, or it was, I think it was shortly before reInvent, but it doesn't matter, AWS announced the third generation of those volume types, just as GP3, so general purpose SSDs generation 3. And so this is different. So it's actually very different to what we knew. So let's dive into that a little bit. So first of all, what's interesting here, every volume, every GP3 volume comes with a baseline performance of 3,000 IOPS and 125 megabytes per second bandwidth, regardless of the size of the volume. So that is different. So no matter what you do, you get the same baseline performance than you got with a GP2 volume type. So that is a big game changer, especially for smaller volume types. And so that makes a huge difference. And the other thing is, what's different compared to the GP2 volume types is, it's possible to provision additional IOPS and additional bandwidth when needed. So basically, with a GP3 volume, you not only specify the volume size when you create the volume, you also are able to specify the maximum IOPS and the bandwidth, the network bandwidth that you want or that you need from the volume, basically. And yeah, you have that baseline performance, but then you can provision much more than that. So up to 16,000 IOPS per second and up to 1,000 megabytes per second is what you can provision. So this is, especially the bandwidth, is 4 times as much as you can with GP2. And you can just adjust that no matter of... So there's no direct connection between the volume size and the maximum throughput of your volume. You can modify that. Of course, we pay for that. So that's what we need to discuss now. But yeah, the interesting thing here is this works completely different than the GP2 volume S because we have that very high baseline performance and you can provision additional throughput on top whenever you need it. So that is interesting. regarding the costs, so if you go over the AWS announcement, so AWS promised a 20% price advantage over GP2 when you compare it to GP3. In reality, I think the price advantage is somewhere between, let's say, 7% and 20%. So to be realistic, it's probably something like 10%, 12% or something like that, cheaper than GP2 instances. That's because at least when you compare it for larger GP2 volumes, you need to provision additional throughput. So that's why it then gets more important.
Okay, I see. So one question, Andreas, do you know out of your head if the GP3 volume types are available in all the regions, or is this something that is only available in some of the regions?
Yes, that's a very good question, because I was wondering about that as well, and I looked it up. It's available in all regions. And this is also interesting to me, because that probably is because it doesn't require new hardware, probably, because I would assume if they need to roll out some kind of new hardware, they would have started with some regions only. But it is available in all the regions. And this is probably because they're using the same hardware that they have been using before, just use another mechanism to virtualize that hardware. That's at least what I expect. But yeah, I don't know, of course.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So this is the new GP3 volume types. It's very interesting because of those characteristics. So we no longer have that problem with burstable performance. You have a very predictable performance. And the baseline performance of the GP3 is basically the burst performance of GP2 volumes. So you get an increase here as well. So I think it makes things a lot easier. And the price advantage is, of course, also important. So if you calculate that, you can cut your EBS costs by something about 10%. That's significant, of course, in many AWS accounts, in many infrastructures.
So Andreas, now I have to ask you another question. So if I'm using a GP2 volume today that is less than 1 terabyte in size, is there any reasons why I shouldn't switch to GP3?
So I don't think so. So that's a good question. So I had a look. I was researching when preparing this topic a little bit, and I was searching through the internet. And what I found is that some people complain about lower performance, especially after they have switched from GP2 to GP3. So there's a blog post, you will find a link in the show notes, where Silas describes his experience when switching from GP2 to GP3 for his Elasticsearch cluster. And what he was observing is much higher latencies when accessing the data on the disks. So this made me curious, and I started investigating myself, but we will dive into that later in more detail. But I could not verify that. So my I/O benchmarks didn't come to that conclusion. So I cannot, from my perspective and from what I've observed, say that there is a reason not to switch to GP3 volumes.
Okay, great. So then let's go on, Andreas. What's the next the next type? IO2, right?
Yes. So IO2 is, formerly it was easy to explain everything. So you had GP2, where you had those baseline performance dependable on the size of the volume, you had the burst capacity, and then there was the other category of volumes, which was provisioned IOPS SSDs. And the difference here was, here you had to specify the volumes size and then the IOPS, so the bandwidth or the maximum I/O operations per second on that volumes. So as you see now, it's not that clear the difference between IO2 and GP3, because that's basically what we have with GP3 volumes nowadays as well. So I'm not very sure about the naming here, because kind of GP3 is also provisioned IOPS nowadays. So yeah, it's getting confused. AWS created some confusion with the naming here, I think, but that's how it is. So yeah, sort of IO volumes, they come with that provisioned IOPS. And what I didn't, so first of all, what I didn't notice right away is IO2 is also kind of new. It was announced in August 2020, so not that old as well. So I totally forgot about that actually when writing everything down here. And also interesting that IO2 is not available for RDS yet. So there it seems that there's a difference between it looks like there's a difference between IO1, the first generation, IO2, also from a hardware side, probably. I don't know, but probably. So RDS still runs on IO1, but we now have IO2. And what is important to say about? So when I compare IO2, so the provisioned IOPS SSDs with the general purpose GP3 volumes, the first thing that that is worth noting is IO2 is much more expensive than GP3. So let me give you an example. 1 terabyte with 3,000 IOPS is round about $80 per month with GP3, and it's $320 per month with IO2. So rule of thumb, it costs 3 to 4 times as much as a GP3 volume when you go to IO2. So the question is, what's the big difference? Because with both, I specify the volume size, I specify the maximum throughput. So what's really the difference? So I looked into that. I tried to find out what's really going on here. What's worth three times a GP3 volume? And I found some interesting details. So first of all, the durability is really different. So IO2 comes with an annual failure rate of 0.001%. And that's a huge difference compared to GP3 volumes, where the annual failure rate is 0.2%. So in other words, it's sometimes hard to imagine those numbers. In other words, one of 500 GP3 volumes fail every year. So that's what AWS calculates with. But only one of 100,000 IO2 volumes fail every year. So that's, I think, one important difference that could also be worthwhile, the extra money that you have to pay when switching to IO2. So if your workload is really production critical and you want to make sure that the risk of a failed EBS volume is as low as possible, I think it's probably worth using IO2. Then another difference that I found is AWS offers something like an SLA on the throughput for IO2 volumes. So it's not really written down in the EC2 SLA, at least I couldn't find it there, but it's mentioned in the documentation and in the description of the product. So I think it's kind of, there's something here. And so AWS promises that an IO2 volume will deliver the provision performance 99% of the time. And I could not find such a guarantee for GP3 volumes. So that's another difference. So I would expect that with GP3, probably AWS over-provisions the whole infrastructure a little bit. And with IO2, you really get the hardware that you pay for. So that's probably a difference as well. And then, of course, there is a technical difference, which is IO2 volumes support much higher IOPS and bandwidth. So it's 64,000 IOPS that you can provision with an IO2 volume. And that's 4 times the maximum IOPS of a GP3 volume. But keep in mind that the bandwidth, the network bandwidth of both volume types is the same. So it's both 1,000 megabytes per second. So that could be interesting. But on the other side, it is a well-known pattern to stripe multiple EBS volumes instead of having one volume with really high throughput. So you could use just multiple GP3 volumes, but that's probably also an alternative here. But yeah, but in theory, that's a difference.
Okay, I see. I just checked one thing in the background, Andreas. So the GP2 volume also has the same annual failure rate as the GP3, so there's no difference there as well. So yeah, that's also interesting.
Yeah, and also the IO1, so the previous provision IOPS, didn't come with that failure rate. So this is really a difference with IO2, the IO2 volume types. This was something AWS was introducing there.
Okay, I see. So now we have the three volume types. So I think the question that still is like unanswered is, okay, what is the, like, when to choose which volume and what are the differences in your measurements, right?
Yeah, so as we discussed already, so because of that blog post from Silas and also others that have written on Reddit and in some Stack Overflow questions, I was trying to find out if there is a performance difference between GP2 and GP3. That's why I did an IO benchmark. And yeah, because I had the IO2 volume in my comparison as well, I was running the same IO benchmark on that volume type as well. So yeah, let me just describe a little bit my test setup for my IO benchmarking. So I did the test on January 11th, 2021, with the following setup. So the region was EU West 1. My instance was an M5 8X large. The GP2 volume was 1 terabyte. The GP3 volume was 1 terabyte with the default performance, which is 3000 IOPS and 125 megabytes per second. And the IO2 volume was provisioned with 1 terabyte and 3000 IOPS as well. So what you expect from those is all of those volumes come with a performance of 3000 IOPS. So that's what they have in common. The file system was the default of Amazon Linux XFS, and I was running the tests with each volume 2 hours. That's because my observation with benchmarks is you should do them over as long period as possible, because sometimes AWS has those throttling limits that you reach after a certain amount of time. That was why I was choosing 2 hours for my test. And I was using FIO. So this is a tool to measure the IO performance. It's also the one that AWS recommends to do EBS performance benchmarks. So that was what I was using. We will have a link in the show notes to this podcast episode where you will find the details. So I have written down the commands, the configuration that I have used for my IO benchmark in detail if you want to check that out. And so what are the results of my benchmark? So basically, the first thing that I measured is all of those. And maybe I forgot one important thing. The IO benchmark was reading and writing randomly on those disks. So half was read access, the other half of the IO benchmark was write access. So that was what was going on. And it is not a big surprise that all three volume types provide a throughput of 3,000 IOPS. So that works as promised, yeah? And this doesn't change over time or something. You get your 3,000 IOPS per second as promised with all of these three volume configurations. So there was no difference there. But then I expected differences in the completion latency. So that means the time from submission to completion of an IO operation of the operating system. So this is something that the FIO tool is measuring. And I was comparing that a little bit. And in my measurements, it is very clear that you get the lowest latency with IO2, then comes GP3, and then GP2. So that's also what I have expected, actually. So with IO2, we pay a premium to get reliable throughput and latency to our data, and that's what AWS is delivering here as well. And then GP3, the more modern generation, delivers lower latency compared to GP2. And that is also, what's also interesting is if you have a look at the standard deviation, or if you go into the percentiles of the read or the completion latencies. And what is important here to mention is an IO2 volume offers the most stable latency. So the latency is achieved in almost every request to the disk. And that is very different compared to GP3 and GP2, where those latencies vary much more. You will find a detailed table with the test results in the linked blog post. I think it's not that easy to discuss the numbers here in a podcast, but that's the overall message. So an IO2 volume offers the most stable latency for all requests. That's definitely a result of the test.
Yeah, and that's also, I mean, that makes a lot of sense that the IO2 volume is more expensive, because keeping things like stable, like having a very stable latency, is actually expensive. And it is required for workloads, for some workloads, like if you really have a high transactional database and things like that, then you really are looking for storage with such a characteristica, because it keeps your latency down, yeah, in all cases.
Michael, now I need your help. So AWS announced this other volume type. How do they call that?
The Block Express one.
The Block Express one, exactly. Because I didn't test that yet, but what's interesting, at least what AWS promised here, is that you get a sub-millisecond latency when accessing your data. So that should be a really big difference compared to what we have now with IO2, GP3, and everything. So the latency gets reduced significantly with those new volume types or this new network storage type. So that's an interesting modification here as well.
Yeah, I don't know if you have mentioned this, but the latency, the completion latency, is on average around 5 milliseconds. So that's maybe what then the difference is, like if you use the Block Express volumes, where we have, I don't know what sub-millisecond really means, but we will see.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be interesting to measure that and to compare that in the future. That's up for the future, definitely. Yeah, so any questions left, Michael?
No, I don't think so. So what I learned is that I should, if my volume is smaller than 1 terabyte and I'm using GP2 today, I should easily be able to switch to GP3, and I get more, like basically better volumes for a lower price.
Yeah. So yeah, to summarize that maybe. So I would say the volume type GP2 is outdated, so you should go with GP3 volumes because they're more cost effective, more predictable, and there's not really a reason not to choose them. The volume type IO1 is outdated as well, so you should choose IO2 whenever available in your region, because that's not yet available in all regions. It's also not available in RDS, as we discussed. And then if you make the decision, should I choose GP3 or IO2, the thing that you have to keep in mind is IO2 is much more expensive, but on the other side, it's much more durable. So remember those annual failure rates. And on top of that, IO2 provides you with that SLA on the provision throughput. And also, that's what we have measured with the IO benchmark, and they deliver a much more stable latency. So I think there is still scenarios where choosing an IO2 volume, especially if you do, for example, a production critical database workload or something like that, is worth the extra money.
Yeah, great, Andreas. I think I have like one task on my list for today. So I will go into our CloudFormation templates and make sure that we use the new GP3 volume in all the places, because that sounds like a good deal. So I think we can close this episode, right? Or is there anything you want to add?
No, that's all from my side.
So thanks for listening. And before you leave, please review our podcast, for example, on Apple Podcasts. You can also share this episode with your friends, because learning new things about AWS is always fun, right? And last but not least, your feedback helps us to improve the podcast. You can reach us via email or Twitter, and you can find the details in the show notes. So we are back in a month. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.